Here's the deal. Here's what they have in common. It doesn't matter whether we are talking about an individual cell, an organ system, a human body, or the entire planet. When you push and push and push against a biological system, eventually that system will start to push back.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people kind of like you. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. So today I did another one of these solo episodes, not because I couldn't find a guest, but because I actually had something I wanted to share. On Friday, I did a talk at this fabulous event by one of our former guests, David Binns, and it was called Mind Body Reset. And the title of my talk was called What Diabetes and Hurricanes Have in Common. It was timely, it was topical, but it was oh so true. This episode, more than anything, is a call to action for all of you. I can't think of a better group to speak to about this because I know that the people who are actually here, who are actually listening, are people who are doers in this world. You are not people who are okay or satisfied with fine, and you are people who are willing to pick up a call to action and do something good in this world. We need to do something good for this world. I fundamentally believe that when people are well, they can change the world. I do what I do because I know that if teachers and parents and CEOs and entrepreneurs are strong and healthy, then they can invoke change in their community with their ideas, with their inspiration, with their actions. And so, in the next few minutes, I'm going to tell you what diabetes and hurricanes have in common. And what you, as the ultimate group of doers, as the ultimate people who I know have influence because that is the vocation you have picked up and the challenge you have taken up with your life, I know that I can think of no one else to be able to assist us with this mission to have just one action that moves the needle on one of the most important and fundamental issues we are facing as a collective group of people. I'm not trying to be excessively serious, and most of you know that this is not necessarily the place that I want to hang out for too long, but this is big. This is super important, and this is my mission for all of you. Mother Nature, our main squeeze, as my gal Heather Allen would put it, is angry. She is angry, and she is pushing back. I didn't think that I was going to run another one of these solo podcasts so quickly, but I can't help but comment on the way the world has reacted over the last few weeks and our collective capacity as badass individuals, as innovators, as people who are full of ideas and passion for helping others. I feel like it is part of our mission. It is part of our call to action to do something about it. I gave a talk last week, and my talk was called What Diabetes and Hurricanes Have in Common. And here's the deal. Here's what they have in common. It doesn't matter whether we are talking about an individual cell, an organ system, a human body, or the entire planet. When you push and push and push against a biological system, eventually that system will start to push back. diabetes never just happens. People will often come into my office and they will say, listen, I'm here because I want to treat my diabetes. I was diagnosed with it 6 weeks ago and I'm looking for a lifestyle intervention. But that person, they probably know it, but maybe didn't realize it. They didn't acquire diabetes 6 weeks ago. They acquired diabetes 6 months, 6 years, 6 decades ago. It started with just a little bit of pressure on that system, and that system pushed back. And then you applied more pressure and the system pushed back. The challenge was, is the system had been pushing back and trying to hold its own for so long that eventually it couldn't hold it together. You know, I hear parents say this all the time when they're talking about feeding their kids or they're talking about pizza programs at their schools. And the thing that they come up with is, you know what, we did this as a kid, we are fine. Well, here's the thing. When I have people coming into my office, they look fine on the surface. You might even argue that, relatively speaking, compared to the rest of the world, they are fine. But I can tell you, when I peel off that outer layer and they have the opportunity to sit on a chair in my office and we look at their blood work or we look at their intake or they finally break down, fine is not a word I would use to describe them. When 30% of my new patients are walking into my office on antidepressants, I would not say that we are collectively fine. When I would say that at least 50% of my patients are walking into my office on some type of medication to manage and push back against the pressure that our lifestyle is applying on their biological system, there is no way that I would argue that we are fine. See, there's two things that are problematic, and I think everyone will understand this. There is no longer room in our vocabulary to deny the concept of cancer. No one would do that, right? You have a diagnosis with cancer, you're not going to go into denial for very long. Eventually, you're going to come out of that state of shock and you're going to say, listen, I've got to take action on this. It is not something to deny. Neither is climate change. Climate change is just a much larger manifestation of a biological system that has been pushed to its upper limit. And biology and nature, it has this way of always finding life, of always being able to carry us through one more day. But I think what we're starting to see is a system that is way off kilter, that is losing its own ability to stand up to the pressure that we are applying against it. And we collectively don't have the tools or resources to be able to handle Mother Nature when she comes at us with her full force. She is stronger and she is smarter than we are. So what do Mother Nature and diabetes have in common? Well, here's the thing. When you have a system, a body that is managing sugar. We have a little bit of sugar. We have some candy. We all do it. I do it. I do it every once in a while. I really enjoy it, right? But if I did it every day, my body would have to start to change how it responds to what I do. Let me give you this classic example. This was an example of someone who was in my practice last week. She had a few kids under the age of 7. She was busy. She had a career. And I said, how's it going with the eating? She's like, ugh, I just don't have time. And to me, when I hear I don't have time, probably they don't have a little bit of time, but there's some quick tools to be able to make things more streamlined. But usually what I don't have time actually means is it means I don't have energy. And when someone says, I don't have energy, we have to look at sleep, we have to look at food, and then we have to go behind it and make sure that the rest of their system is functioning properly. And this is what was happening for this particular woman. She was someone who otherwise wanted to take care of her health, but on a very frequent basis, she's like, you know what I do? Is I sneak out mid-morning or I sneak out mid-afternoon and I go to McDonald's across the street because I am just absolutely craving those French fries. And I don't get anything else. I just have those French fries and they completely satisfy where I'm at. And it's true. They do in the short term, because what she needs in the very short term is a little hit of sugar, right? Our cells and our DNA aren't complicated. They know that when our brain is running out of fuel, that glucose and refined carbohydrates are one of the fastest ways of turning that system back on. So that's what she does, is she goes and she grabs some fries, right? They're white, they're rapidly converted into glucose, and she satisfies low blood sugar, because the body has alarm bells that go off when blood sugar is low. It goes, whoa, 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 this isn't cool. Guys, we need fuel and we need it fast, because our brain, which metabolizes nutrients so quickly to be able to maintain itself, it needs sugar, and it needs sugar stat. And so that's why when you are just so hungry, or for some of you so hangry, which is when you're hungry and angry at the same time, what you're after are white things. And so that's what she was after. She was after something white because she needed rapid fuel. And I hear this so often, especially with new moms, right? They're like, I couldn't put the baby down. I was starving, so I just had a piece of toast. And then I had a piece of toast. And then I had a piece of toast. And then I'm so tired that all I have time to do is make toast or have tea or drink a Diet Coke or whatever it may be, right? We've got to get beyond that. So she was so tired, she'd run to McDonald's, she'd get those fries, and she would instantly feel better. Why? Well, because McDonald's is smart. They know that if you get a little bit of salt and you get a little bit of fat, we can override the system, which is actually saying, I need nutrients. I need nutrition. I need you to give me some ingredients so I can turn on some appropriate pathways. We override that by giving our bodies salt and fat so we think that we're satiated. And then at the same time, the whiteness inside of those French fries, that gets converted rapidly into glucose, and we satisfy that immediate feeling of hunger. And so what happens, of all of the biological needs that she had as a human being and as someone who's giving so much during the day, she satisfied just one. Those fries had one button that they were able to push in her body, and that button was an immediate or approximate or a just for now satisfying of her blood sugar. But what happens is that when her blood sugar goes up, and because it is a white food, that blood sugar rises really, really quickly, suddenly the body goes, whoa, what felt good for a second is now just a little bit out of control. And we've passed a threshold that we're comfortable with, because too much sugar, sugar is a pro-oxidant in your body. I want you to picture like those ninja stars that you throw and then they would just create damage. Imagine throwing ninja stars up your blood vessels, for example. And so that's what happens with pro-oxidants, is they create damage in your system. If there's inflammation already happening, it's like throwing gasoline on inflammation. If there's atherosclerosis or other things that are taking place or other mechanisms that are already engaged in your blood vessels, it's like picking the scab, right? So adding sugar to a system that's already a little bit challenged is going to push it more over the edge, and the body knows that. So it says, you know what, we've hit the threshold in terms of blood sugar. Good for her. She's overachieved in the acquisition of sugar and glucose for the brain. And now we're going to dump something called insulin, and we're going to just load the system in insulin. And insulin is like a loudspeaker that goes out to all the cells in your body, or just about all the cells in your body. It says, hey guys, there's way too much sugar. Can you guys do me a favor and open up the doors and suck some of the sugar out of the hallways, because we know it's going to cause damage. And the cells at first listen. They're like, no problem, insulin. We got your back. And they pull the sugar out, and then they balance out your blood sugar levels. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but let's follow along with this story and this analogy. And so when that happens every once in a while, your cells are like, yeah, no problem, insulin. You do not abuse that megaphone. When you call out and suggest that we need to balance things out, we have always got your back. But what happens? What happens when insulin is yelling, not, you know, I mean, it always talks a little bit. It's always like, hey guys, we hit that upper threshold. Can you open your doors? And cells respond. But what happens when it like really needs to yell several times a day? What happens if your boss does that to you? What happens if your parents do that for you? The last thing that you really want to do is actually listen. And so that's exactly what happens in your cells, is over time, they listen to you, to the body say, hey guys, here's insulin again. We need you to suck up the sugar. And the cells are like, honestly, insulin, we've done this for you like four times today already. If you like really, really need us, then why don't you get on the megaphone and ring your bell? But otherwise, honestly, like, I'm putting my earphones back in. And so the cells over time become desensitized to the calls of insulin. And so what happens in that biological system when those cells stop listening? Well, at first, nothing. At first, we see some evidence that maybe your blood sugar has been a little bit higher than it should be for an extended period of time, but there's no active state of disease. But what happens when that blood sugar, has been too high for too long, when too many cells have decided that they aren't going to listen to what insulin has to say? Well, now we start to see damage. Now we start to see other systems that go into compensation. Remember when I talked about those blood vessels that become damaged or weakened by oxidative stress, by that pro-oxidant running through the body? Well, guess what? If there's little nicks and damage in those blood vessels, which happens all the time, the body has systems to be able to repair this. Well, if there's little nicks or damage and it gets worse and worse and worse, the body goes, whoa, hold up here. I need to compensate for this because I cannot have weakened blood vessels. Like, that is going to interrupt our day-to-day survival. And that's what your body's programmed to do. It's programmed to keep you alive on a day-to-day basis, right? Think about clotting in your skin. Your skin will clot if you cut yourself, but you don't want your clotting factors to be hyper-efficient at all times in your body because that's going to create a recipe for a heart attack, right? We have blood thinners to manage those types of things. So what happens when we start to have that damage that's created in these blood vessels, in the hoses that essentially carry the blood through the body? Well, the body is smart. It says, listen, this is not okay. I need to keep you alive for another day. So what I'm going to do anywhere where there is an issue is I'm just going to increase this natural protection that I'm able to manufacture called cholesterol, and I'm going to start to patch up these holes. And so what do we see with diabetes? Well, we see prolonged uncontrolled blood sugar because those cells are like, ugh, we've had enough of listening to insulin yelling 10 times a day. And the body's like, listen, we got to compensate for this because these cells aren't listening. So what we're going to do is we're just going to collectively start to increase the cholesterol levels because, hey, it is the best tool we have to start to protect the body. Do you see what's happening here? We have a biological system that is being pressured. We can't necessarily see the pressure. In fact, for a lot of people, they will hear that their blood sugar is a little bit elevated, or they'll hear, you know what, that's really not good food for you. But they'll say, ah, you know what, I'm fine. I'm not in a state of active disease. I don't feel any different. I don't quite have as much energy as I used to, but none of my friends do. This doesn't start today. It started way back when. It started when we were young. It started when those cells were really young and they listened to insulin and insulin's like, hey guys, hold up, not good for us. And we went, ugh, we're fine. Fine is like denial when it comes to understanding how a biological system works. And once you know better, you can do better. And so the body gets into a state where it's compensating, it's compensating, it's compensating, but eventually it just can't hold on anymore. And that line of fine, that line of normal as it pertains to your blood work, suddenly there's a blip. Suddenly you go in for that annual physical and they go, oh, you know what, your cholesterol, it's creeping up a little bit. Or they go, oh, your blood sugar is a little bit higher than it should be. Probably fine. Just lose 10 pounds and we'll check it again. So you lose the 10 pounds, but without changing those dietary habits. And what happens? You continue to create damage behind the scenes and the body needs to continue to compensate. Well, what happens when your blood sugar is not quite over the edge, but your cholesterol still keeps creeping up and suddenly you go on a drug to interrupt or decrease your cholesterol. Now what we've done is we've taken away the body's ability to naturally compensate against the force that we're applying to it. And so we go on another drug and then another drug and then another drug. Because what all of these drugs do is they are in essence adding information to your system. They are pushing buttons in your system. They are playing a piano. They're hitting all of the keys at once. So do we need these drugs? Probably. Probably when we're not bringing in nutrients and adding activity and movement to our system the way that we have evolved to need it. There are mechanisms in our own daily life that will allow us to hit all of the keys on that piano or all of the keys on that computer at the same time. Imagine the value of having a huge kale salad versus French fries every afternoon. When you have that huge salad with multiple types of vegetables and proteins and fats all under one roof, what we do is we dump on the body a plethora of information. We don't have one tentacle that just satisfies blood sugar. Now we have 100 tentacles that not only manage blood sugar, but they also give us the ingredients required for effective repair. They also give us the nutrients we need to make the hormones that are balanced in our system, that help us manage stress, that help to maintain sleep. You can suddenly see how adding positive, good food to your body on a daily basis is helping to give your body the ingredients that it needs to maintain its homeostasis. So when I say that diabetes and hurricanes have a lot in common, I think you can start to see where I'm going with this. If we look at our body as a microcosm and a small manifestation of this larger system that is our planet is at the point where we haven't just had a few blips of blood work that are problematic. We've now had a few trips to the emergency department. We've now had a few wake-up calls with respect to our health. You know, they say that when someone has a heart attack, there's a window 4 to 6 weeks after that heart attack took place where that person is maximally responsive to lifestyle interventions. And if we don't give them lifestyle interventions with effective support and information and tools for implementation right off the bat, then that window is gone. Right now is our window. Right now is our window where we can have this rallying call with respect to our planet, with respect to the management of our climate. We have a choice here. We have a choice where we can pick up our tools and we can start to have conversations about the things that we can do every single day to start to improve the state and the health of our planet, or we can let this window pass us by. We can let this 4 to 6 weeks slip through our fingers and we can go back to that state where we are in denial. But we are only going to be in denial till we have one more trip to the emergency department. And then the opportunity will present itself again until we're out of opportunities. I see all of these initiatives taking place in the online space and in local gyms and in yoga studios. And in my world, there's an incredible outpouring of response to assist the victims of Hurricane Maria and Irma. And I'm 100% behind that. But what I'm also rallying you to do, you as go-getters, as entrepreneurs, as innovators, and as leaders in your communities and in your households, is to start a conversation about what you can do today. What can you do with your kids today to start to take care of our planet? What can you encourage your kids to do with their classes to start to take care of their planet? Can we all be carrying a water bottle around with us instead of using a paper cup? Can we be more mindful of ensuring that we are recycling? Can we choose to walk instead of taking the car? If we start to be extremely conscious about these things, if we start to put energy into it, if we start to support one another in terms of doing something for the planet, I think there is an opportunity here for us to absolutely shift the needle, to take our blood sugar from being just over that line of fine, from taking this episode where we're all collectively in the emergency department and making this the crossroads where we decide to start doing something good. When people know better, they do better. I saw this picture someone posted in a Facebook group a few weeks ago, and it was a picture of a family member. And they're like, this family member is feeding their kids Diet Coke. What do we do about it? And there was a bunch of people who had suggestions around what to do. And I simply wrote, you know, when people know better, they do better. And if you are an example to her, she's probably going to be inspired by your actions. Telling her what to do or how to do it isn't likely going to get you the outcome that you think would be most beneficial for this niece or nephew. And that's what I'm encouraging all of you to do. This isn't about us pointing fingers. This isn't about us shaming other people for their actions. But this is an opportunity for us to all stand up as leaders in our respective communities and do something amazing. Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that may be holding you back from your true potential. When you know better, you can do better. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to meganwalker.com/Anthropology quiz. we have this group of women, and the group is called Legacy, and we have links to it in our show notes. I would love it if you would join us. And what we did a few months ago is we created a series of challenges, and those challenges were all related to health, getting to bed sooner, having less sugar. I'm going to put out a challenge. I'm going to put out a challenge to you as listeners. I'm going to put out a challenge to you as I know we've got a lot of doctors and practitioners who listen to us. And I know we've got a lot of incredibly powerful people. I'm going to put a challenge out to all of you to create a challenge within your ecosystem for everyone to do just one thing. It doesn't have to be a monumental shift. It has to be one thing that moves us into the direction of a more conscious caring of our planet, as opposed to the spiraling effect that we all engage in on the other side. If that means making a literless lunch, or like I said, bringing a water bottle, or choosing not to have a paper cup, then those small actions add up. It's consistency that builds the cavern, not dynamite. One action by you can inspire one action by someone else. Here's your call to action. Through email, social media, the water cooler in your office, I want you to start a conversation. I'm putting this challenge out to you. I'm going to put it out to our legacy group that if we can all commit to one thing, and if we can share what those ideas are, we are going to collectively move the needle forward. I do what I do because I love the concept of working with people upstream. I always say that if you are drowning in a river, Western medicine has incredible tools to pull you to shore, resuscitate you, and get you on your feet. But my passion is working upstream and around the corner to figure out why you fell in the first place and to teach you how to swim. This is your call to action, your rallying cry to go upstream, to pick just one thing that you, your kids, and your community can engage in. And what I would really love is if you could share it on our Anthropology Podcast page, our Facebook page, and if you're so inclined, to join us in our legacy group, Facebook.com/groups/BLegacy, because we are living our legacies every single day. I care for you, I care for our planet, and I could not be more proud of the community that we have and the people and the inspiring actions that you guys take every single day. I'm going to go there now. I'm going to check out what you guys are doing. I wish you all well. Share what you're doing to help support the victims of these hurricanes, and let's do what we can to reduce the risk of this happening again and again and again, because in 100 years from now, that is when we're going to see the fruits of our labor, because we're going to pass down the knowledge and we're going to pass down this wisdom where we went, this is enough. It's time to make a change. Go do it. Go be that change.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Anthropology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.